Now, after his arrest in the garden, after his trial, after his beatings, after his torture, after his rejection by his very own people, we now see Jesus nailed to a cross that he was too weak to carry himself. And he is hoisted up for all to see near the city. And as we see this Jesus, I want to ask you, do you remember that sweet, precious child of the promise that was born to us on Christmas Eve? Do you remember the young Savior who loved being in his Father's house, the temple? Do you remember the man who, as he came into ministry, was performing miracles? The one who mercifully healed the people who were in need and who taught a nation and a people who was lost and in darkness of the kingdom of God and the light that was breaking into the world through him? You remember that, Jesus? Because this is him. In case you missed it, there's a sign above him mocking his claim of being a king, making fun of the identity that he truly has. He was given a crown of thorns to match earlier. He is bruised. He is cut. Not that you can tell from all the dried blood that is covering his body. You can actually barely tell that it's Jesus. All you can tell is that he's tired. And we think that this is the worst that it gets. Jesus has endured for us. Who could imagine a pain like this? But we know that it gets worse. And we know that Jesus is far from done suffering. The worst is actually still ahead for Jesus to endure. And darkness begins to fill the land. And one thing becomes apparent, is that this is not a regular day. This is not a regular execution. It's not a regular man that is just being punished. Something is happening as the sky begins to darken. This is actually the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day that he told his people would come ever since the time of the Old Testament as he spoke through the prophets. This is the day of cosmic justice that the Lord would unleash onto this world. This is the day on which all wrath and all punishment would be given out to all of those who disobeyed God. Think about that. Every sin, all disobedience, every instance of worship of false gods and idols, every time God's people turned away from him, all of their pride, all of the arrogance, all of the hatred and the jealousy, all of the brothers killing brothers, all of the stealing and the taking, all of the abuse, all of it comes at a price. And mankind has been running up an immense tab ever since Adam and Eve first fell into sin. And this great day of the Lord is the day on which God has finally come to settle accounts with everyone who has been spending so generously. And so we would expect that on this day, it would be right, it would be just, it would be appropriate and fully warranted that on this very day, God would strike down every single man, every single woman, every single child dead and forever cast away from his presence, his love, his goodness, completely separated from him. This is what they deserve. It's what they've been deserving for a long time. That's not what we see. That would be bad Friday, wouldn't it? And it is still bad in a way, but it is good as we continue to find. We don't see anyone punished. We don't see anyone die. We don't see anyone cast out. What we see instead is Jesus. We see only Jesus. And he is dying on a cross, and he is forsaken by God. And we start to finally realize that Jesus has come to pay our debt for us. He has come to take the sin of all mankind upon himself, and he has come to be struck down. Can you imagine, though, with all the things that we've listed, what a massive debt that is that Jesus has taken on? How much sin, how much guilt. I mean, think about your sin, just you. Every single Sunday and every single day, as we remember who God is and who we are, as we try to tally up the sins that we've committed and repent, and as we turn from it, we find that time after time after time, my sin is too much for me to count. It is too numerous. It is too far outside of the boundary of what is allowed. It is so great. And then think about all of our sin, you and me right here, and it doesn't stop there. The sin of all people in this world, not just here and now, the sins of all people of all time. What kind of a debt is that? Who would take that out? And who could ever bear that amount of punishment, that load? And here's the ironic thing. The only person who could bear this weight and this punishment and this sin is also the only person, the singular only person who doesn't deserve to. The perfect, sinless, obedient Son of God. Jesus is so undeserving of this cross, and we are so undeserving of the salvation that it brings. Even as all of this is happening, and we've seen this in the Gospel of Matthew, you've probably noticed on that Sunday that Jesus, as he hangs on the cross, he's being shouted at by most of the people around him. Every single person has something to say, most of them making fun of him. They call him out. They finally have him pinned. They say, Jesus, look at you. You're pathetic. You're a fraud. You're a joke. Look at the fool hanging up on the cross. And you're going to die like one too. And you lived like one. We knew that it was all fake. And some even say, hey, look at Messiah up there. Hey, here's a miracle idea for you. Why don't you get yourself off of that cross that you're nailed to? Ta-da! Why don't you show all of us? Come down from there. But none of them know who Jesus really is. None of them understand what Jesus is really doing. Jesus knew this was going to happen. He said that seeing, they may not see. And that's what's happening here. They don't comprehend that Jesus is taking their place. They don't know that his true strength and his glory are being shown in his suffering for others, for them. They don't know. And so they mock the very one who is in the process of dying on their behalf. And we know the logistics of all of it. We know that the sin is there and the price needs to be paid and that all is made well. We understand that. But the question always does remain. We know why Jesus had to do it, but still, why does he go through with it? Why does he actually do it? Why would Jesus go through this knowing that the very people he came to save have put him on that cross in the first place and now are mocking him? I mean, think about it. If somebody was coming to you and said, I need help, I'm in trouble, I can't provide for my family, I can't even pay rent, we'll be evicted if it doesn't get paid today, and you say, okay, I will help you. And the whole time you are walking with them to the landlord, they're shouting at you, you stupid idiot, I got you. You're going to pay this? You're so stupid. I hate you. You, honestly, I do. I hate you. You're an idiot. The whole time. Would you go all the way to the landlord? I wouldn't. I would turn around. I would say, you know what? I actually, something came up. It was you, and I changed my mind. I'm not doing this for you. Why would I? If you were thankful, maybe. If you knew what it is that I was doing, sure, for you, for your family, yes, not this. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. But at the same time, aren't we the same as the mockers? They mock not knowing who's up there. not knowing what he's doing, but we do. We know why he's up there. We know what a shame it is for Jesus to suffer like this. We know how undeserving and tragic this is. We even claim, as we come and look at Jesus on the cross, to be sorry that we are the reason that he has to suffer that much. And we come with our penitent hearts and all of that. But at the same time, the way in which we live, the way in which we turn out of here and go back to sinning even before Easter comes, isn't that a mockery of what he's accomplished, of the price that he paid, of everything that it took? We're no better. We really aren't. I know I'm not. And when we hear the story of the crucifixion, whenever I hear it, I cannot help but to imagine it play out. It is such a graphic and such a visual story and an event. There's really no choice but to picture it as you hear it happening. And as I see Jesus on the cross every single time, I imagine myself standing there among the people who are shouting at him. And I'm shouting at him as well. But I know what I know. And I put the dots together, and it's been revealed to me in the scripture, and I live in that luxury. So I'm not mocking him as I'm standing there, but I'm trying to reason with Jesus. But somehow I end up saying the same thing, where I say, Jesus, no, come down from there. Get off the cross. If you are, and I know you are, the Son of God, come down, because I know that the suffering he endures and with who he is, this is not right. I am not worth it. You shouldn't do this. Come down from the cross. Just keep going. Don't do it for me. Why would you? Save yourself. Because I don't want him to suffer. I don't want him to die. And as much as I don't live like it, I do love him. But I am convinced that I'm absolutely not worth it. I know I don't deserve it. I don't think any of us are worth it. But I thank God, and I do, I thank God that Jesus disagrees with me. Even though we don't deserve for Jesus to take our place, right? To him, we are worth it. And he suffers, he bleeds, he hangs, he dies, he is forsaken because we were worth it to him. And if I could go back, if I could stand before that cross in real time and I could ask Jesus to come down, I never want to say that I know what Jesus would say, but I'm very sure I know what Jesus would say. Because Peter tried the same thing. Jesus, there's no way we're going to let you go up on a cross. We're not going to let it happen to you. Let it never be so that you should die in this way. And what would Jesus say to Peter? What would he say to me? He would say in no uncertain terms, get behind me, Satan. Even though Jesus, he didn't deserve it. It doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't. But no one, not Peter, not me, not the jeering crowd, not Satan himself, no one could stop Jesus from suffering on that cross and dying for us. No one. So even though Jesus had everything to lose and only us to gain, he went through with it. We are worth it to Jesus. And I think one part that makes us so worth it to Jesus is not only that he loves us so much here and now, just as we are, but Jesus loves us more than that in a way that we can't really see. I think Jesus finds an immense joy in knowing who we will be in his kingdom because of what he is doing on the cross. Because he knows and he can see that we will be free, that we will be restored, that we will be in his full presence, being exactly who we were meant to be and living how we were meant to live in eternity in the original design. And Jesus knows that this suffering, that this bloodshed, that this God-forsaken torment, this is exactly what's going to allow us to be in that kingdom by nothing but faith in him. And so I will never, ever understand the generous love of God on this side of eternity. I just won't. I cannot wrap my mind around it. But I am thankful that I don't have to understand it, and I don't have to comprehend it. I just need to receive it, because Jesus has done it all. And as he says, it is finished, I know that it is. And so today, as bad as this Friday is, it is a good Friday. And as we see today our Savior hang on that cross, we know that his body is given, his blood is shed, his life is a ransom. His Father turns away, but our debt is paid. Our freedom is won, and our life, not just this, but our perfect, glorious life, is secured forever. All praise, all glory, all honor be to you, O Christ. We continue with our final reading.